John chapter 18. This evening, returning to John chapter 18, where we read in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. John chapter 18 is very far removed from the upper room discourse and the great intercessory prayer of our Lord Jesus, now to the garden of Gethsemane. The Lord is with his disciples, probably minus Judas. Peter and Judas are highlighted in the narrative, and I will endeavor to make note of their actions in bringing our message this evening. Both disciples convey a message that I believe is to our benefit. Whenever the scripture gives so much time to individuals in the Bible, no matter who they are, it is to our profit. For these things also are written for our admonition. Many people today are like Judas. By nature, we are all betrayers of the Lord Jesus. If left with a choice of our own, we would sell him for a day's earnings. And some do this yet today. In chapter 18, Jesus have left the upper room with his disciples and has entered the garden. As I have said, Judas probably, as most commentators say, and I agree with it, is no longer with the 12, but has joined the mob, the temple soldiers, whom he had already tipped off where to find Jesus. What an awful thing. When you contemplate it, what a terrible thing. But Peter was a contrast. He sought to defend his Lord, but he did it the wrong way. But at least Peter lived up to his promise when he said in Matthew 26, verse 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. That was then. Of course, Peter did not know what he was saying. And at times, you and I are so quick to say what we would do and what we would not do. We better be careful. Because if the Lord was to take his hand off of us, there's no telling what you and I would do. And Peter learned that mistake from that mistake. But what is there for us this evening? Well, first, the actual time of Jesus entering the Garden of Gethsemane, which is disputable by some, it was after the Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper. Beginning from John 13, these events took place. Judas had already sought occasion to betray his Lord. Let's turn back to John 13 a minute in verses 27 through 30. Let's read a little about what happened there. In John 13, verse 27, we read, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that is Judas, that thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. It was night in so many ways. It was night for Judas. It was night for Jesus as well. But here in John 18, the actions of Judas have finally come to bear. I will seek to open the following parts from these 12 verses this evening. One, the danger of knowledge, verses 1, 2, 3. Two, the darkness of man's heart, verses 4 through 9. And three, the weakness of human defense, verses 10 through 12. These are the lessons I will endeavor to share with you from the context this evening. First, the danger of knowledge, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. It is believed that Judas had earlier left the upper room, but he knew the place where Jesus was going with the rest of the disciples, according to verse 2. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Judas oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Maybe this subject was discussed in the upper room about Jesus going to the garden. It probably was discussed among the disciples. Judas heard this. It only goes to show, brethren, that no matter how close our private meetings are, that some have a way of spilling the secrets. And we as men should take heed of that when we meet. No matter how close we may be in a meeting or a prayer group, someone will spill what happened in that group. And we better be conscious of what we are saying about who we're saying it about. Sometimes I hear things that should not have been heard, that should not have escaped a private meeting or a worship service or a prayer meeting. And here we see Judas. Knowledge can be very dangerous. We can know the very place that Jesus frequents. We can know all about his sweet times of fellowship, the doctrines of grace, the duties of the Christian faith, and not yet love the Lord Jesus or the fellowship we shared with. The late Puritan writer R.C. J.C. Ryle said about this event, and I quote, "Let us beware of resting our hopes of salvation on religious knowledge, however great, or religious advantages, however many. We may know all the doctrinal truth and be able to teach others, and yet prove rotten of heart and go down to the pit with Judas." J.C. Ryle. Pretty stiff. Judas was able to rightly point others to the place where Jesus could be found, to the time when he could be found. And you and I can know the very place where a faithful proclamation can be heard, and yet never find our hearts ready to apply those doctrines that are proclaimed. We should be on guard of ourselves, brethren, in the church. We should ever be on guard of our hearts. Knowledge is a very dangerous commodity. I would rather know little about Jesus and love him more than to know so much and yet don't love the Savior and his disciples. It is not what I know. It is how I love and whom I love. The Bible says, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. It is never knowledge that keeps a person from apostatizing. Hell will be filled with such ones. It is love that keeps us from falling. The text says Judas knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. The place where Jesus often resorted with his disciples is the organized church. Many have come to know the place very well. I am thankful for this. But there, brethren, this is not all. This is not what I desire for us. I desire that we truly be saved from God's wrath. I desire this for you. As much as I desire this for myself. As we have heard last evening, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now this is our first head, the danger of knowledge about Jesus. Judas knew where Jesus resorted. He knew where to find him. He knew where to show people he was. Second, the darkness of man's heart. Verses 3 through 9. Now these are only headings to help us understand the context. Headings are not inspired. Notice verse 3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now these are the people that were harassing Jesus for 3 years. And Judas finds himself with them. Can you imagine? Jesus taught his disciples that he is the light of the world. He taught that the one who follows him shall not walk in darkness. Yet Judas and his band of men need lanterns and torches to find Jesus. Think of that. They need temporal light to find the light of the world. Brethren, you and I must be careful who we hang with in this life. The psalmist says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Yet men still are seeking Jesus with their own lanterns, torches, and weapons. And this is another lesson, another powerful lesson, by the way. Judas may have sung the hymns with one crowd in the upper room, but found another crowd that agreed with his agenda. Brethren, this is the church and what it is like. Many in the church have 2 kinds of friends. I can't even get 1 kind of friends. But they have 2. Those in the upper room and those in outer darkness. Now get serious with me, because I'm serious. Men would always find other sources to find Christ than the correct source. The place to find him is in the light of the word. There's no natural light that can show us Jesus. We need supernatural light like what Saul had. Long ago, the prophet Isaiah, turn here with me quickly, by the way, Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. We read there. Then they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law, and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because they have no light in them. Now what the prophet is saying is God's people will not run after error. When anyone runs after error and false gospels, it is because they have no light in them. They have not the source of light. Many people are looking for Jesus through other sources of revelation. They seek him through dreams and visions and other means of revelation. I said when we first started this John series, quite a number of people responded who were of a different persuasion. I believe they are all blown away by now. You will not find the Christ of Scripture through these means. He must reveal himself to us through his word. If you're in a false gospel, you have a lantern, a torch. Sometimes we are in Africa and then that torch in such a dark place rarely give us light because it is so dark. But here I want us to know that the Lord Jesus never lost control. Known unto God are all things from the beginning of the world. Notice verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? In other words, who are you looking for? To put it in our language, Judas thought he was leading the soldiers to the hiding place where Jesus was, not knowing that it was the Lord who was drawing them because he knew the time had come late that Thursday evening for him to be arrested. The question Jesus asks suggests that not even Judas recognized Jesus with the lantern he had. You didn't see that? Jesus asked, who are you seeking? He's saying it to Judas and the band of men. The light they had could not even recognize the Savior. Verse 5 says, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. No, this is difficult. To stand with someone is to agree with them. Remember the words of the psalmist, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor seat in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Here we're told that Judas stood with the ungodly. And that's why I often say some of us in this church need to declare our hand. Who are we standing with? And if we're standing with Christ, show it. Please. Do you know that you and I are either standing with the Lord Jesus or standing with the ungodly? We cannot stand with all two. Verse 6 and 7, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. But incidentally, brethren, there is a practice going on in some circles where people are going backwards. A man pushed him on the forehead and they go back. That is demonic. That is a sign that someone is under judgment. When Jesus said, I am he, the people went backward. If you are entertaining these religions with people doing that and people are falling down, and I see it all the time in a particular country, people flock to these things. And that's demonic. No wonder they had torches and lanterns. They had no light. And they went backwards. What I know, I am not sure why they fell to the ground. But what I know is that the Lord declared his glory. I am he. And a mere declaration of who Jesus is sufficient to knock us down to the ground. And when you hear people carrying on, you wonder which Jesus they're talking about. He said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Here was another chance, by the way, for men to acknowledge the Savior. But this was not to be. Jesus must be crucified. We read in verse 8 and 9, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Here again is a clear statement that Judas was not given to Jesus by God. Clear statement. In verse 8, the these who were to go their way were the 11 disciples. In the context, Judas was not included among those given to Jesus. But this is a great message. We all deserve death and judgment. The death that Jesus endured. We all, children, deserve punishment for our sins. All of us. But the Lord Jesus said, if therefore you seek me, let these go their way. We must ask ourselves, which way are we going? The 11 followed the way. One went away. And you know what he did. If I ask you children, what happened to Judas? You would tell me in a minute what happened. We should seek to go the way of salvation. And Jesus gives us that light to see him. So these two parts are clearly saying the danger of knowledge, knowing where Jesus resorts. Second, the darkness of man's heart, seeking Jesus with earthly torches or other sources of light. Thirdly, the weakness of human defense, verses 10 through 12. I use this head because Peter is seeking to defend his Lord, poor Peter. In a few hours or minutes, Peter will deny his Lord. And brethren, If left to our own, we will deny him. In fact, I said it doesn't take much to deny Christ today. I always remember, and I probably shared this with you before, don't like bringing too much personal testimonies, but I remember when I was a young Christian, I was embarrassed to tell others that I was a believer. I was working at a sweatshop, and once after work at that factory, an older guy that he was an electrician, but I wasn't doing electrical work, so I took to him. He was my friend, and he invited me to stop at a bar with him after work. And I went with him at this bar. Now, here's this young Christian trying to look good with this older man, and I went into this bar. And he bought two beers, and he offered me one beer. And I said to him, I'm sorry, but I'm a Christian. I can't take the beer. I had to declare in my hand who I was. You see, I had denied Christ as my Savior. And I was forced now to stand. And I said it as kind as I can't take it. I'm a Christian. He said to me, "My Christians drink beer." I said to him, "Not this one." I'm not saying that the drinking of a beer will determine if a person go to heaven or hell. But I had come up in a church that taught me not to even touch a beer. And here, innocent as I am, I told him, I can't drink the beer. But many Christians find themselves in places and with people because they fail to declare their hand. And some of you may be like that. You may find yourself in a relationship or in a place that you ought not to be because you are denying the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you, that is dangerous. You may not be a Christian at all. Because you can't hide. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came out of the woodwork at the worst time, when the hostile crowd was out and demanded the body of Jesus. And I say this to some of us, because a lot of our people find themselves with the wrong people at the wrong times. And they come to church. And let me tell you, you may not even be a Christian. We are considering Judas and Peter. And both of them have some very interesting things to teach us. Verse 10, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear." The servant's name was Malchus. And this is a very beautiful name. You know, Malchus, servant of the Father. When we wield the wrong sword, we would invariably close the ears of men. Faith comes by hearing the word. And when you have a wrong sword, you will not be able to bring the word. But what I'm saying is the gospel doesn't need our defense. Neither does the Lord need our defense. In Matthew 26:51, another text, 2:53, Jesus spoke to Peter. He said, the text says, Matthew 26:51, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus," Matthew didn't call no name, he was very careful. See, Jews always defend Jews. stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. You know, isn't this true? One man overthrew the president, and later in life somebody overthrew him. Thinkest thou that I cannot not now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? You see how Jesus responded? I couldn't respond like that. Our efforts are so weak in defending ourselves. Our weapons are not to be carnal, but spiritual. Peter also teaches a lesson. You and I should never resort to human methods in defense of the gospel. They say that in the early days of the Reformation, one notable reformer began burning down Roman Catholic churches. And you should know who is that. And that's a bad rap that he has. During the Reformation, they say that the persecuted now became the persecutor. But our efforts are weak. The same Peter was able to say from his experience. Hear what he said. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, deceit, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Sometimes it takes a Christian a while to understand what God is doing. It takes him a while. But he will learn. Peter learned from his error, and he said these words. He looked back at Jesus. That's what you and I need to do. Look back and see how he responded. But sometimes people who are not Christians never understand. They can't. They continue to be hostile. And sometimes some of us can be pretty hostile when we are corrected. We should take note of Peter. Verse 11 says, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus, bound him. Good night. It's history. The end starts for Jesus. It's a sad end. A.W. Pink said that there is a contrast between the Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane. He said in the Garden of Eden, God sought sinful man, asking, Adam, where art thou? In Gethsemane, sinful man sought God to destroy him. In the Garden of Eden, man took the forbidden fruit. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took the cup of God's wrath. In the Garden of Eden, the sword was drawn to keep man away from entry of the garden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the sword was sheathed to save man. Pink. This is not from me. This is from Pink. I'm not that clever. And I'm not going to plagiarize. I tell you, that's my idea. It's not. It is quite an analogy from one of the great Puritans. So this is our portion for this hour. And I pray that you will take it seriously, because many of our people weigh heavily on my heart. I wish it would go away. And I believe it would only go away when I leave the ministry. The beginning of the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. Let me ask in closing, do you have the knowledge of Jesus' place of resort? We come to church. Some of us know where to come, hopefully. But some people don't know where to go. You may know a church where he's preached. Don't be like Judas, who knew where to find him, but didn't know his voice when he asked, "Who are you seeking?" Immediately, Judas should have sensed, "That's Jesus." Didn't know the Savior's voice. And some of you are here, and you may be able to rightly point the place of worship. You don't know the voice. You hear his word, but you don't know his voice. Some of the stories you tell, some of the things you say, some of the things you are involved in, it tells me you don't know his voice. Preacher ain't got no friends. Don't be like Judas, who knew where to find him. Maybe you are listening to me and is seeking salvation with your own torch, with your lantern. Ellen G. White, Watchtower, Mary T. Baker, Russell and Rutherford, Watchtower magazines, Risings of Maine. Your vision, your dream, you would not find him that way. May we find comfort in the words Jesus spoke to the religious scribes. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. He was condemned to death, that we can go the way of salvation. What powerful words, even at the arrest of Jesus. We'll continue next time. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are not capable to unravel these words. Forgive me, O Lord, for at times making a mess of your word. We have entered into holy ground, O Lord. And we pray you'll forgive us, Lord, for our sloth. Lord, these days, these hard days are revealing to us the stiffness and the hardness of the human heart. Knowledge, that's it. But no light to see Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that we would be found going the way of Calvary, bearing the cross. Lord, help us to bear it with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.